Okay, open with me back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We've been going through this chapter here, and our Lord preached in a synagogue. And after he finished preaching in that synagogue, he came down to Simon's house, Peter's house. And he healed Peter's mother, his mother-in-law. And verse 32 says, at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. The whole city came to Peter's house. And the reason is because word got out, there's a man down there who is healing people of their diseases. He's healing of their sicknesses. And that's very appealing to people. You know that? Very appealing. Health, wealth, and happiness. Who wouldn't want that? If I had a choice between sickness or health, I'd take health. Absolute poverty or a comfortable living, I take comfort. Just sadness or happy, I take that. Who wouldn't want that? All things are of our Lord. Everything is of our Lord. What do we have that we have not received? Our health is of the Lord. It really is. Our money is of the Lord. Our happiness, it's of the Lord. We give Him all the glory for those things. But if that's all He gives to us, if that's all He gives us, a little bit of health, a little wealth, and a little happiness, we are of all men going to be most miserable. Look back at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 1 says, and our Lord entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. There it is. There it is. The greatest mercy God could show a sinner. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's a work that is done on the heart. It's done on the inside, and it can't be openly seen at first. And that's usually how our Lord operates on His children. He does not always give the lesser grace, the physical healing. But He always gives that greater grace, that spiritual healing. Thy sins be forgiven. That usually Him withholding that lesser grace, that healing, that's the means He uses to forever rid His people of their sin. That's the means He uses to just take them on forever. Drop the sin forever. Verse 2, and behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. They didn't say it out loud. They were just standing there, and I can see them with their arms crossed and a smirk on their face, looking at him, thinking, this man blasphemer. Verse 4, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Now we have a loved one that we've been praying for, Brother Gary Perkins. We've been praying for him. We have been continually bringing him before the Lord, just like these men did. They climbed up on a roof and they ripped it open and they let a loved one down. They brought him before the Lord. And I went and saw our brother, and he's laying there in a bed. He's on a ventilator. And I was reading this, thinking about his family, thinking about us, his brothers and sisters. Which would we rather, if it had to be one or the other? And usually that's the way it is, one or the other. Even if our Lord does send a physical healing, something else is behind it. At some point, it's going to be one or the other. Which would we rather? Would we rather God to say to our loved one right now, arise and walk? Or would we rather God look straight into his soul and say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Which would we rather? Which would his family rather? Which would he rather? Thy sins be forgiven thee. It's the greatest mercy God could show a sinner. The greatest mercy. Back to Mark chapter 1. Verse 32 says, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. I love our Lord's sovereignty. I love it. His sovereignty and his majesty. I love knowing that every knee must bow to him. I love knowing that. Every tongue must confess he is Lord. He is. Every time he cast out an evil spirit, that spirit had to confess it. Every single time. He had to. Look back at verse 23. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Had to confess it. Chapter 3, verse 11 says, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. They had to. This one's my favorite. You can turn if you want. Luke chapter 4, verse 41 says, and devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he's the Christ. They knew he was. They knew he was. Every tongue is going to confess. But here's the thing I want to say. For them, it's too late. It's too late. It's just too late. Every knee must bow. But every knee must bow in this flesh. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, today. Once this body is laid down and the spirit goes back to God who gave it, if God has not caused that soul to bow the knee to Christ, it's too late. It's just too late. Seek him while he may be found. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Our Lord has told us, while he may be found, while he's near, kiss the Son lest he be angry. He's a holy God who punishes sin. Well, many were able to come to him while he was on this earth. Many came right up to God Almighty. And he gave them what they were looking for. They wanted a physical healing. That's what they wanted. And that's what so many people want today. They want a physical healing. And he gave it to them. They received their healing and then they went on their way. They got it, then they went on their way. But how sad would it be for, and I thought about those souls, you think about all those people who walked up to God and they looked God in the face. And he said, "What will you that I should do unto you?" And they said, whatever they said. And then later they went back to meet that same God. They looked that same God in the face. How sad would it be to find out he did not pay for my sin? He did not heal me of my sin. Back over in Mark chapter 1, verse 34 says, "He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee." Now, these men did not come for themselves, but they all wanted something out of him. Everybody's wanting something out of you. Verse 38, "And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils." How sad would it be to go stand before God and find out he did not heal me of my sin? The fact of the matter is he doesn't have to. He just does not have to. He's God Almighty. He does not have to show mercy to sinners. And every poor sinner that believes he does, you know, Jesus Christ is at my beck and call. Oh, he'll save me. He'll save me. I think about different people I've known over the years, and that's what they believe. I know they've told me. Oh, he'll save me. He has to. Every soul who believes that is in for a rude awakening, a very rude awakening. He does not have to. There is only one way to approach the holy God. There's only one way to approach God. We just said these poor souls, they went back to God. But if God had not caused them to bow the knee, it's going to be too late. They're going to be cast out. There is only one way to approach the holy God for this spiritual healing that we all need. And there's a leper in this story. There's a particular leper in this story that we read about. God in mercy caused that leper to find the way. I want to find the same way. I want to show you something. Before we look at him, I want to show you something over in 2 Kings chapter 1. Go with me over there to 2 Kings chapter 1. Now we're going to look at Elijah. Again, he's God's man, God's prophet. But this represents a sinner approaching God Almighty, the holy God. 2 Kings 1 verse 1 says, "Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab." This country Moab, these people Moab, they went to war with Israel. "And Ahaziah," he's the king of Israel, "he did not fear God. He did not worship God. He worshiped idols. Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, 'Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease.'" Moab came in and he went up and hid in the lattice and he fell through that lattice. And that fall caused him to become sick. And he's on the bed. And he sent these messengers to go ask this idol, am I going to recover from this? Verse 3, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto this king, he said unto them, why are you now turned back? And they said unto him, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there's not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to Elijah, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. He's going to tell him that this king who's on the bed is demanding to see him. The king has said, come down. Verse 10, and Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also, this king sent unto Elijah another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And the king sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants. We're not servants of that little king. These 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. That's the only way to approach a holy God. That's the only way to approach. The good news is, every soul who approaches that way will not be turned away, will not suffer God's wrath. Every soul is going to have the same response this man had. God allowed a leper to approach that way. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. And that's what leprosy represents. Sin. The only hope that we have of being forgiven and being accepted in the presence of God is if we find mercy through Jesus Christ and His blood. And there's only one way to approach Jesus Christ, the God of heaven. We must come to Him, but there's one way, begging for mercy through His blood. Now let's look at this leper through Matthew's point of view. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 says, when he was come down from the mountain, that's our Lord, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper. Behold. That means gaze with open eyes at something remarkable. There came a leper. Why is that remarkable? The reason is because lepers were not allowed to approach people. They were not allowed to come up to anybody. Everybody looked and said, "Behold, there's a leper." Once a leper was pronounced by the priest to have leprosy, he was not allowed to be with the people anymore. Total outcast. He was more vile and more rotten than any. Everything he touched was vile and rotten, and he could not be with the people. He either had to be alone or he had to be with other lepers. When they walked down the street, if they saw someone coming, they had to go to the other side crying, "Unclean, unclean." Is that us? Unclean. So behold, gaze with wide open eyes at something remarkable. There came a leper. Verse 1 says, "When our Lord was come down from the mountain." What was he doing on that mountain? You know what he was doing on that mountain? Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is a message. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord went up into a mountain and he sat down with his disciples and he started preaching. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." They're going to be filled. They're going to be filled. Throughout that message, we hear our Lord say, "You've heard that to murder is against the law. Thou shalt not kill." He said, "I'm telling you that just to hate in the heart is murder to God." And he said, "You've heard thou shalt not commit adultery." He said, "I'm telling you just to lust in the heart is adultery before God." What he did is, all through that message, he exposed sin for what it really is. Every man is a sinner. And this leper, who would not have been standing in that crowd, he wasn't allowed to. This leper would have been standing over here to the side. He would have been standing afar off, listening to all this. And as this leper heard our Lord expose sin for what it really is, he listened to every word of truth. I can see him just standing over there in all of his shame, all of his guilt. I can see him not so much as lifting up his eyes unto heaven, standing over there by himself, smiting on his breast, crying, "God, be merciful to me. I'm a leper. I'm a leper." I could see that man over there not just grieving over what he has done. That's what man by nature does. He grieves over what he's done. But do you know what true sinners, who God has revealed the truth about themselves to them, do you know what they do? They grieve over what they are. He wasn't just standing over there grieving over what he's done. He's standing over there grieving because he knows, "I'm a leper. Through and through, 100%, I'm a leper. It's what I am." He is something that he cannot of his own accord stop being. But in God's mercy, in God's providence, he brings this leper into earshot of God's promise through the blood of his Son. His hap was to walk up on a crowd who is listening to the gospel. And as this leper is standing there listening to the God of glory preach the gospel, he heard the Lord say something in his message. It's in Matthew 7, Verse 7. He heard the Lord say, "Ask, and it shall be given you." I wonder if the Lord pointed at him. The Lord knew his own. He knew who was his own and who was not. I wonder if the Lord was over here preaching and preaching and preaching, and all of a sudden he said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, it'll be open to you." Yes, you. So in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 says, "When our Lord was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped him." Mark says he kneeled down. Luke says he fell on his face and worshiped him. He was worshiping. Even though he was a leper, he was still worshiping God. That's what true sinners in need do. They worship God. No matter what, they worship God. They obey His Word. They respond to His call. And this is the heart that God put in him. This is what God caused him to say. If any leper in here, if there happens to be a leper in here, a sinner, any sinner in here this morning who is not just grieving over what he's done, but is grieving over what he is, if he comes to Christ and says the exact same thing, in the exact same way, he's going to have the exact same result as this leper. He said in verse 2, "Lord, Jehovah, God Almighty, Lord, if Thou wilt," this is totally up to you, completely in Your hands. "Lord, my life is in Your hands. If Thou wilt, Thou canst." If You will, You can. "Thou canst make me clean." You know what the only thing that can make you and I clean is? It's the blood of the Lamb. Cleansing, soul cleansing blood. The only place that blood can be found is in the precious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. If You will, You can make me clean." Verse 3, "And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him." He touched a leper. Nobody touches a leper. Nobody. "Lord, that's going to put his leprosy on you. Don't you know, Lord, that if you touch him, his leprosy will be transferred from him to you?" "Yes, I will." God's law must punish sin. That sin must be dealt with. Our Lord said, "Lay it on me." He said, "If you will, you can make me clean." He put his hand on him and said, "Lay it on me." Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I love this story because I'm the leper. I'm the leper. He touched me and made me whole. That's all of us, isn't it? That's the only hope and the only plea and the only testimony that we have, is that He touched me and He made me whole. What does the Lord's mercy and grace to us cause us to do? What does it cause us to do? I'll close with Mark chapter 1. Go back to Mark chapter 1. This is what it causes a true sinner, a true leper, whom God has touched and cleansed and healed. This is what they do. Verse 40, Mark 1, verse 40. "There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. But he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much. He just couldn't help it. He couldn't not do it. He said, don't tell anybody. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. He wanted everybody to know he touched me. Everybody. But you were a leper. Yeah. I was a leper. But my Lord has done great things for me. That is the only reason I'm here right now. That's the only thing I had to say today. All I wanted to do was tell you how great things the Lord had done for me and you. We rejoice in that. Lord, if you will, you can make us all clean. Every one of us. Go to him with that. Every time his answer will be, I will. I sure will. Be thou clean. All right, let's stand together.